we'll probably keep doing this at different times as we go forward as a church. But one of the things that I found is that by answering your questions, it's something, by answering our questions, that it's something that sometimes sets us free. Sets us free from things we've wrestled with for a long time, maybe in our faith. Or sometimes it springs us forward like we're on a trampoline to higher heights in trusting God and realizing that God is big enough for our questions. And so we've been discussing a few questions. The first one we discussed in the first week was, how does God reach out to people who reject God? How does God reach out to those who are adamant about not following God? And so we answered that the first week. Last week we talked about something that I think is one of the most important things. Y'all are great question askers. The question we discussed was, how do we lead, or how do you disciple your family? How do you lead your family to have a strong, growing relationship with Jesus in all circumstances? When you go through the regular week, when you go through difficult situations, how do I disciple my family? And so if you missed that last week, I encourage you to go online. Those sermons are on there. And I want to encourage you to listen to that, because I think that both of those are questions that, since they came from the floor, they're obviously important. So thank y'all for asking those. But this week, the I question that we're talking about is this. How do we listen to God? How do we listen to God? And after we listen to God, how do we know, how do we discern what God is saying to us? That's an important question. In fact, let's face it, the most important thing in our lives, if we want to follow God, is to know what God is doing and what God is calling us to do and where God is leading us. And I like to equate it, I'm a water skier. And one of the things that you know, I know about water skiing, when I was first learning, everybody tries to pull themselves up. And so you have to tell a new water skier, no, 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 keep your arms straight, bend your knees, and let the boat pull you up. And I kind of think that that's the way it is to follow God as well, because so many times we come fighting and trying to pull our way and earn our way to God, trying to boot camp Jesus, do all the right stuff, say all the right things to be good enough to earn our way to God. But the reality is, when we finally realize to keep our arms out, to bend our knees and to allow our God to pull us and to truly lead us. That's what it means to be a follower or a disciple of Jesus. And so one of the most important things in doing that is to know what God is saying and where God is directing you. And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. But let's face it, trying to hear God's word and where God is leading is hard. It's hard. It's hard to discern where God is calling us to go. And so how can we listen to God if we're not even sure God is talking? How can we listen to God, or how do we keep the line of communications open between us and God? And how do we discern God's will versus all the other things, all the other voices that we hear pouring into our lives all the time? How do we say what's God's and what's not? And so I want to give you some tools this morning to help you to do that, because I think the most important thing is I want you to know what God's good and pleasing and perfect will is for your life and for how to discern that. So if you have your Bibles, the sword of the Spirit, would you take those out? First Samuel chapter 3 is where we're going to be hanging. It's on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles. You can bring one on your iPad or whatever too, but I want you to test and make sure. One of these days, this is going to go out. It'll be Easter Sunday, and everybody will say, oh, we don't have the words on the screen. Bring your Bibles and test it with what we've got here on the screen. But anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it's right after Ruth. And go ahead and turn to that. And let's stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. This is going to give us some helpful tools on how we can listen to God. And it goes like this, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. That was his dad. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that they could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Well, Samuel is just a little boy. That's what the text reminds us of, that Samuel is just a little boy at the time. And the scripture says this. It says that they were in a day when the word of the Lord was rare. Have you ever felt like that in your life, where it seems like the word of the Lord in your life seems very rare? Now, it wasn't that God wasn't speaking in that time. It wasn't that God wasn't trying to show himself and reveal the direction for his people. But for some reason, it was hard to discern the will of God. It was harder to discern God's voice. And this was one of those times. There were other times in the past when God's voice was very, very crystal clear. It was very obvious. And it was like these big signs that God would do. In fact, in Exodus chapter 13, Moses... This is not Samuel, in Exodus. Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. We actually talked about that last week. They'd already led them out of slavery in Egypt. And all of a sudden, immediately, God came to the people, spoke to the people, and gave them these really obvious signs. I mean, I kind of wish that this is the way discernment happened in my life so many times. Because it goes like this. It says in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 and 22, here are the signs that the Lord gives them and how they're to follow. It says, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them with a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." And so in Exodus, God is trying to communicate with the people, and he gives them very obvious signs. There's a pillar of cloud during the day that they can find shelter under, and then there's this huge pillar of fire, and you can just, I mean, I don't even know what this looked like, but just picture like this pillar of fire in the sky, and it was probably really obvious that when the cloud or the fire moved, you moved. It was easy to know how to ski behind God. That when the cloud or the fire moved, they moved. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped. That was God's direction over their life. It was really obvious and easy. And so God was trying to communicate with them. But the thing that I want you to know is that God is always trying to communicate with God's people. God is always trying to communicate with us all the time. And God wants to guide and direct our paths, because God knows the purpose. God's ultimate plan for us is that we would know God, we would follow God like we talked about, that we would become holy as God is holy, that our lives would be transformed, heart and life, into the image that God's created, into the image of Jesus, the way God's originally created us to be, that suddenly we begin to love God with this perfect love and love one another with this perfect love and become the people that God's created us to be. That's God's plan for us. And so God wants to direct your path. God wants you to hear from him. But there are some seasons in our life when discerning God's direction is as crystal clear as it was back in the Exodus. Follow this cloud, follow this thing. And you may be in a season right that where you're like, I know God's will right now. Like I'm hearing from the Lord. But there are other seasons in our life. There are other times in our life that seem like the days of Samuel, like the days he was living in, when the word of the Lord seemed rare, that it was maybe hard to discern what God was calling them to do. It was more difficult to hear. And if you're there right now, I think the story of Samuel has something interesting to teach you. I think something important to teach you, because it reminds us that God is communicating to you all the time. But I want to give you the tools. I want to give you the resources to know how God speaks and how we can better listen to the Lord so that we can be better followers. But before we move on, I also want you to notice in the text this. It's a location. Every single thing that God puts in the Bible is there for a reason. Everything's there for a reason. In fact, everything's important. So even a location, God's trying to communicate something to us. Did you notice the location in your Bibles? The place, it says this in verses 3 through 4, that before In verse 3 through 4, it says, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. He was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then it says, then the Lord called Samuel. And so in the Old Testament, the temple was the place where God's presence was. It's where they went to meet God. But even more important, the place, the Ark of the Covenant, was where the presence of the Lord dwelled. And so he was literally lying down next to the presence of God. He was in a place where he could hear God. And so if you want to know God's direction for your life, one of the best ways to do it is to be like Samuel. He kind of did it by accident. He didn't even know the Lord then. But he was sleeping beside God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. When Mandy and I, a few years ago, my dad used to get these really great tickets to see the Atlanta Braves. And you know I'm a Braves fan. We've already seen a Gwinnett Braves game and stuff like that. I'm a big sports fan. Well, anyway, we went to this Atlanta Braves game, and I got these four tickets. I didn't know anything about the tickets. And so I, you know, grabbed the tickets and the cool parking pass, and I thought I was, you know, something for just a minute. But anyway, we had four tickets. And two people, it was me and Mandy. And so we started calling our friends. We didn't know anything about the tickets. Started calling people and said, hey, we're going to the Braves game. Free ticket. You want to go? No, I can't go. I've got this. Okay. So we called other people. And we kept calling people and calling people. And finally, you know, we went for couples at first because we thought, let's use both of these tickets. And then we were like, all right, let's just call anybody and their mama who might have a pulse. And let's see if anybody wants to go to a Braves game with us. Nobody wanted to go to the Braves game. We were like, goodness gracious, these are free tickets. And so we get to the Braves game. We're like, all right, they're lost. We've got more elbow room. And so we show up and we're trying to find our seat. And we keep walking closer and closer to the home plate area. And we start realizing, man, our seats are pretty good. We're on the front section and everything, right behind where the dugout is going to be. And so we start walking down and we realize we're on row 7. And there's not many rows farther up from where we are. And we're thinking, goodness gracious, this might be a really good seat. So we keep walking and walking. And finally, we found out that in Turner Field, the dugout is cut out. And so we weren't on row 7. We were on row 2 right behind the dugout. And we're looking at the players eyeball to eyeball. And it was a little bit awkward because if you said something, they would look at you and they could talk back to you. So you didn't want to say anything like, hey, somebody stinks, because they'd be able to see you. You know, so it was one of those things. And so we get there and we're like, man, this is awesome. These people missed out like crazy. And so this wasn't for spite, but we took our, you know, iPhone out and we did one of those backward picture deals where we wanted the Turner Field shot. And so we take a picture of me and Mandy and, we put it up on Facebook just as a memory for us. And all of a sudden I start getting text message, text. And all these Facebook posts like crazy. And everybody's saying, man, I wish I could have been there at the game with you. Oh, that's the best seats I've seen. Like, oh, that was the coolest thing. How did you get those awesome seats? And for many of those people, these are the same people that we said, hey, do you want to come to the game with us and sit in our measly, we don't know where they are seats? And all of a sudden, it was one of those things where, I mean, they weren't in a position. They weren't in a position to have that experience because they weren't even in the stadium. You know, you've got to be there to experience. And it's kind of the same way with our walk with the Lord. The best way to hear from God is to be around God. As if we're always missing, if we're always running away, then it's hard for us to be in the stadium, to be in the arena where we can hear God best. God communicates everywhere. But it's kind of like this. If you're going to go get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, I know they're closed on Sunday, so I'm sorry I put that temptation on you. But if you're going to get a Chick-fil-A sandwich, you're not going to go hang out at Waffle House, because you're probably not going to be in a place where you can get a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Now, somebody may randomly walk in, because that happens sometimes at Waffle House. You know, in college, we used to have some strange things that happened in Waffle Houses. That may happen, where somebody walks in and gives you a chicken sandwich. But you have the best chance of getting a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich if you go to Chick-fil-A, not at Waffle House. And it's the same way for us, that we need to be in a place and position ourselves and our lives in a place where we can hear the Lord best. And as we're sleeping next to God, as we're closest to God, that's how we hear the voice of God. That's how we hear what God is trying to say to us. In our walks with Jesus, if we want to know God's wisdom and experience God, we got to spend time around God. That's why being at the fountain every week for worship is important. We don't just put on a good show every Sunday. We know that it's important for me as a pastor. It's important for you in your daily walks to be here and worship in community. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Thank you for being here, because this is, we talked about this. This is one of the best things you can do for you and for your family. So fathers, thanks for being warriors for your family and leading them to church this morning. You guys are awesome. But it's important that we worship together because you're around the people of God. You're worshiping God together. You're hearing the word proclaimed. And you may just hear the voice of God. God may just speak to you in some way this morning. That's also why it's important that daily we're in our Bibles. That maybe we don't know where to start, but maybe we open the Bible up and turn somewhere to the Gospels or somewhere else. And we read a little portion of it. And we pray and say, God, what are you trying to tell me here? Because the best way to know the direction of God, it's already given to us. So many times we're looking for what's God's will for my life and it's already here. We need to be reading our Bibles daily. And also, that's why it's important in our prayer lives that we're praying, that we're spending time talking to God, asking God for God's direction. If we never ask for it, how do we expect to receive it? And so praying to God is like communicating with God. And if we don't know God, it'd be really hard to get insight from God. So I think this next part of the text, if you're following along there, is pretty comical. It's kind of like, I think of like a Three Stooges type routine or something like that. But have you ever been woken up, if you're a parent or maybe if you've done like a youth lock-in or something and kids will fall asleep, have you ever been woken up in the middle of the night by a kid who just, they hear something. So they wake you up and they say, I heard something. And so you turn the light on, and you're like, all right, what's going on? Do I need to get my gun or is this like a false alarm? You know, and so you go looking around the house and you realize the noise that they heard. You say, look, it's okay, you're safe. That was just the air conditioning coming on. Oh, go back to bed, you're okay. Well, that's kind of what's going on with Samuel and with Eli right here. See, God had called out to Samuel, but Samuel didn't know the Lord, didn't know it was the Lord. And so Samuel starts rubbing his eyes, and he goes and wakes up his daddy, Eli. He goes to his dad and wakes him up, and he says, I hear something. Did you call me? And he says, no, I didn't call you, son. Go back to bed. Go back to bed. Eli probably thought, you know, this is some kind of dream. Just go back to bed. And so he goes back to bed next to the presence of the Lord again in a place where he can meet with God. When the Lord called out to Samuel a second time. Again, he said, Samuel, when he heard the voice of the Lord, he thought it was Eli again. And so he goes to his dad. You know, the same routine. It's kind of like a bad joke that recurs over and over. He goes to his dad and says, did you call me? I heard it again. It's like, no, son. You can almost, maybe this is the scene at your house, like on a Friday or Saturday night. Like, no, it's fine. Go to bed. Like, seriously, you're going to be okay. It was nothing. And so he said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You know, and so you can just picture the dad getting a little bit irritated. But here's the cool thing. Did you recognize how God is constantly pursuing Samuel, constantly wanting to communicate and speak to him? It's the same way for us. God is constantly wanting to speak to us, and he keeps pursuing Samuel, even though Samuel misses it. That's good news for you and for me. Talk about grace. How even when we miss the voice of God and what God is trying to communicate with us, God never lets go of us, that God keeps pursuing us. Talk about prevenient grace that comes before, that leads us to our first realization of God and to help us to first trust God. God continues to speak to us today. But there's a few different ways. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that God speaks to us. And I want to tell you some of these so that you can know and you can have your antennas ready to receive what God has for your life. One of the ways that God communicates is just like God did to Samuel, audibly. Actually hearing the voice of the Lord. This happened with Moses in Exodus chapter 3, where all of a sudden there's a burning bush. And Moses walks up to this burning bush and the voice of God comes out, calling out to Moses. Audibly hearing the word of God. Now, I have to tell you, I've never experienced this in my life. I've never experienced God literally audibly speaking to me. That's other people do today, but I've never experienced that, so I have to tell you that. But the good news is, we can hear from God all the time. There's so many ways God communicates. Another way God communicates is through signs. God gives us signs. In fact, we talked about this. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That these were signs that God gave to the people to help instruct them and to lead them to know how to discern the will of God. But God gives you signs all the time. God gives you signs in your life all the time. In fact, sometimes we talk about it as a closed door or an open door. Sometimes a door will just fling wide open. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes that shows us, wow, Lord, you're opening up this door and this door and this door. This may just be your will for my life. God communicates through signs by opening doors for us. It's not always the voice of God. In fact, we have to test these things with four things, the quadrilateral. Scripture. Does this agree with Scripture where God's leading me right now? Does it agree with what other people have said, my tradition? Does it agree with my reason? Does this make sense or is this crazy? And sometimes God does call you to do crazy things. And finally, my experience. Have I experienced this before? Have I experienced God communicating and leading people in this way? Have other people experienced it? Scripture, tradition, and reason, experience help us do that. So God sometimes opens doors, but sometimes God also speaks by closing doors. Now, certainly this is not always the case that this is God's will, because as a church planner, when we first started, because there's also other things, there's spiritual forces going on in this world that are trying to prevent anything in the kingdom from advancing. Sometimes when we were planting a church, we experienced closed door after closed door after closed door after closed door. And we thought, Lord, are we doing the right thing? Are we in the right place? I mean, what's going on, Lord? And we realized a closed door didn't mean that this was God's will. God's will was saying, keep praying. Keep pushing, and I will open up the door. Try a different path. These are things that the powers of darkness are trying to do to try to push away the mission of God, and I'm wanting to accomplish it. And what's been bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Kick the door open. Keep praying. Keep trusting me. But sometimes a closed door speaks God's will in your life. And it may be that you're looking at a situation and you're like, man, this is just a perfect situation. The grass is so green on this side. Everything looks perfect. Everything looks like this is the way, like if you were to like design me perfectly, this is exactly the way it should go. This is the path we should be on. And then all of a sudden, the door slams in your face and you say, but God, I thought this was your will. I thought this was where you were calling me, and all of a sudden the door closed. Maybe that wasn't the right fit for you. Maybe that wasn't the right fit for you at that time. Maybe for some reason it wasn't the right timing. Maybe there was something in that situation that you didn't see. There was something that was not on the surface for you to see, but maybe God saw it in God's infinite wisdom, and God says, I'm here to protect you, and I'm going to shut this door. Because this is not a good path for you or your family. I'm closing this door. And we have to trust that the Lord knows best, that God is leading us, and to say, and here's what I know, and this is kind of a cliche saying that we hear in our culture, but it's true for the Lord. When a door closes, we have to trust that God has another door, that God is opening for us in another way. God speaks to us through signs. So God speaks audibly and through signs. God also speaks through the Bible. And this seems like really easy and really like, you know, duh, we should, you know. But God speaks in the Bible. And if we want to know God's will, we need to be reading the Bible. If we want to know God's direction, it's already been given to us. But here's the cool part. Here's kind of one of those antennas to test, is this God or is this not? That Scripture, and Scripture kind of helps us to discern if this is God's will or not. Because God will never speak something that's contrary to God's character. God will never speak and lead you somewhere that's contrary to God's character as revealed in Scripture. And so if you're experiencing something that you're like, this does not agree with this, Scripture always trumps it. If there's something in your life where you're like, God, I think you might be telling me to go here and to do this. Well, if it's something that disagrees with Scripture, it may be that God is saying that that's not the voice of God. So Scripture helps us to discern, is this God's voice or not? It helps us to test it. And so if you came to me and you said, whew, we're really busy right now. We're going through a really busy season. And we were praying and God told me that we should just stay home and not be involved in a church so that we can spend more time with our family. So that's wonderful. And I'm glad. God loves your family. God wants to support your family. You know, and I want you to spend more time. In fact, come leave work a little bit earlier. Spend a little bit more time with your family, and when you're present with them, be present. But I would have to tell you that, you know, the Scripture continues to remind us that God reveals in Scripture that you need to be in a community of faith where you can be growing and to be a disciple, that we're not created to do this spiritual walk on our own, that we're created to be in community with one another. And we talked about this last week, that's the best thing for you and for your family, that you need to be supported and encouraged and held accountable and shaped and molded. that that's the best thing for us is to do it together. And so that would be an example of something that's contrary to what God teaches all throughout the Bible. And so the scripture can help us to discern. So talked about audibly, signs, speak through the Bible. God also speaks in the Bible through visions and dreams. And we're not going to go into big talk about that. That speaks for itself, but a lot of the prophets that happen, God speaks to them through dreams or visions. Another way God speaks is through other people. I've experienced this so many times. And let me say that you have to be careful with this as well. You have to test it with scripture. You have to test this and pray about it too, because the reality is that sometimes people will give you a word that's not from the Lord. Sometimes people will tell you things, and you know that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There's a reason why the words and the things that people have said about us have so much power, that we remember the bad things that people have said about us. Sometimes when people speak into our lives, it's not the Lord. But God can use people to communicate God's truth to us. And this happens to me all the time. In fact, I'm so glad to have so many people who love the Lord and who love me to death. And I want to encourage you to find people who love you and want the best for you and want to encourage you and to help you to grow in Jesus. That's really important, to surround yourself with good people. Because the reality is that sometimes God will give me an instruction. God will give me an instruction in my life to kind of help me to know which way to go, or to help me discern which path I should take. And sometimes it's a word to just keep me in alignment. I mean, because let's face it, we all need people that hold us accountable. And so I have some friends who will tell me, Andy, remember it's not remember to not do all this on your own power. Like, oh, I need to remember that. Rely on God, rely on God, rely on God. Or they may try to keep me in alignment and say, Andy, remember to take care of your family. Remember your family is your first priority. And so people speak into your life all the time and can help you to hear the voice of God. And so they can communicate the voice of God for you. In fact, other people can help you to confirm things that we think we hear about God. One of the funny things that used to happen all the time at Mercy University when I went to undergrad, it's a Christian college, and these are some kind of dorky Christian things you get in a Christian college. As you know, pickup lines like, are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see. You know, all those dorky pickup lines. Well, the Christian version goes like this. Honey? Or maybe you don't have to say honey. Excuse me. God told me that we should date. God told me that we should date. Or even worse, I heard this in college and I was like, almost pulled my hair out. God told me that we should get married. It's like, I haven't even met you, dude. You know, and so I was in youth ministry for a while, and I would tell girls this all the time. Like, when some suave Christian dude comes up to you and says, God told me that we're supposed to get married or we're supposed to date, you just look at him and smile and say, well, that's great, but God didn't tell me that. And until God tells me otherwise, I'll just rather say no thank you. You know, and so it's funny. So God uses other people to help confirm things. And just because somebody says, I got a word from the Lord, and nobody else agrees, doesn't mean it's the word from the Lord. That's why it's important that we read scripture alongside of one another. It's important why we live life alongside of one another, because it helps us to know God's will and to discern in our lives, is this of God or am I off course? So God speaks through other people. The sixth thing, God's will is revealed on our conscience. In fact, in Romans talks about this, how the law is written on our conscience. You know that bad feeling that you get? Like when you're about to do something that you know isn't really a good thing to do, and you just kind of get this bad feeling in your gut, and you're like, this is just not right, but you're like, but I kind of want to do this. Like, this is something that would be fun, but it's like, this thing in my gut's telling me not to. And so you say, all right, maybe I should just listen to that. It's not just feelings. God has written the law on your conscience. God has written the things of God on your conscience to know what's good and bad. And so if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, the Holy Spirit helps you to prick your conscience, to help you to know, is this God or is this not? Is this right or is this wrong? And that's why people who have never heard the name of Jesus, who aren't even followers of God, can know some of the law, because the law is written on their heart. It's written on their conscience. They know what's right and wrong. They know morality in general. I shouldn't kill people. That's bad. I should do good things to people. That's good. God reveals some of those things on our conscience. So that's also one of those things that God reveals God's will on our conscience. The last thing is this. God speaks mostly. This is the way I've always, not always, this is the way I've experienced God more than anything. Mostly, God speaks in a still, small voice. Not this booming voice in the cloud that says, Samuel! God mostly speaks to us in a still, small voice. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 19, God is speaking to Elijah. And it says this in the text, verse 11. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. It's like, a lot of stuff going on. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. The Ruach, the Pneuma, the Spirit of God, whispering to us, helping us to discern God's path. God mostly speaks to us through a gentle nudge, through a soft whisper, and continues to pursue us daily. In fact, when God called me into ministry, I was in my senior year of college, or senior of high school, and I was driving. I want to show you that God speaks in real time, real people, real places. I was in my Jeep Wrangler, green Jeep Wrangler with a black top. The top is down. I'm actually in Gwinnett County. I'm driving on Sugarloaf Parkway. I'm getting ready to turn onto Peachtree Industrial to go north toward the fountain. Pretty cool how God works. So I point in the direction of where the fountain will eventually be planted. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at it's nighttime, and I'm looking up at the stars, and I just got this word, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And I didn't know, like, what that was. Like, I read my Bible and all that stuff, but I didn't know that that was, like the Great Commission, like directly from Scripture. I just knew, like, it was something that God put in my head. It was a thought that almost came up in my head, but I knew it didn't come from me. It was one of those things where I was like, I don't even know what this is. Like, God just placed this in my head. And so I just kind of shrugged it back and said, I think that was the Lord, but I don't know what that means. And so I kind of, like, God threw one dart, and I shrugged it off and went on. And then a few weeks later, my chorus teacher called me into her office, and she said, Andy, I want to talk to you about something. Have you ever thought about going into ministry? It's like, no, I've never thought about that in my life. And so I just kind of, that was kind of one of those, like, weird Twilight type deals where I left the office and said, what is going on? Like, what are you trying to do, Lord? And it was like another dart and another dart. And it was like, I just kept trying to dodge them and saying, I don't know what this means. I mean, we're all called to go and make disciples, but I felt like God was calling me to something even more particular and specific. And so finally, actually, this happened before this last thing. I was at my home church. Jim Lowry, who was the pastor at Norcross First United Methodist, is now a district superintendent in the Atlanta Marietta district. He was speaking, and you hear TV preachers do stuff like this all the time. There's somebody in the audience who's sick. And like, yeah, there's somebody in the audience who's sick. You know, there's somebody in the audience who's going through this. Well, he never did stuff like that. And he said, it was like the next week, he said, I believe that there's somebody here in this church right now who's sitting here who God is calling into ministry. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to be obedient to God and to follow the direction that God's trying to call you in. I want you to know that it's not on your power. It's not dependent on your strength. That whoever God calls, God enables. And I realized, God, you've thrown one dart after another after another. And I know, I knew well enough that when God calls, it was like I got pinned up against a wall figuratively. And I knew that it was something that wasn't worth running over, because if it's God's will for my life, then goodness gracious, let me get on board. And so I went to Mercy University, and I didn't know, like, I've never really done ministry stuff. I mean, I've loved people and I've discipled people, but I don't know if I can do this ministry stuff. And I think I'm being called to be a preacher. I don't even know if I can preach. Whenever I get up and talk, sometimes I stumble. Do I even have the gifts? And so I started doing ministry in different churches and stuff like that. And people around me started affirming the very calling that I had received from God. They began to say, you really have some gifts here. I was like, yeah, I kind of stunk that one up, and I had a lot to learn. But, you know, it was one of those things where other people confirmed the calling that God had given me. God speaks and God confirms as well in so many different ways. So finally, as we get back to the text, finally, the Lord called out to Samuel a third time. He's already done it two times, and the dad's kind of like, yeah, go to bed. And so the Lord calls out to Samuel a third time. And he goes to wake up his father Eli, kind of like the bad joke. And Samuel, he never realized the Lord was speaking to him. But his father Eli, being a good father, knew how to point him in the right direction. Fathers, the best gift that you can give your kids is to show your kids and point your kids in the direction of the Lord, to help them to listen to God. Thank you for being here, and thank you for discipling your family. So he tells his son, he says this, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel followed his dad's advice, and when God spoke to him again, this time Samuel didn't miss it. The wise instruction from his loving father Eli shows us how we can hear from God in our lives. If we want to hear from God, we have to orient our lives in such a way, in a posture where we're really ready to listen. And this is one of the hardest things. I have to say, I'm a preacher. I talk a ton. Y'all know that. The hardest thing to do sometimes in our lives is to put ourselves in a posture of listening to God. In fact, this is the way so many times we do our prayer lives. Hey, God, this is Andy. I just wanted to let you know, I need a lot of things from you right now. Like, I want you to bless me. I want to know you. I want to know where I'm supposed to go right now. I want to know the direction for my life. Can you bless me? Can you be in me? Can you help me? Can you encourage me? What path should I take? What's your will? How should I communicate to my family? How can I lead my family? How can I know how to be a better disciple? And the whole time, it's kind of like, have you ever been on a phone call before with somebody? And they just keep talking and talking and talking. This is me, by the way, most of the time. Talking and talking and talking and talking. And you're sitting there and you're like, I can't even get a word in. That's so many times, and this is me. I always preach things that hit me first. That so many times we're talking and talking and talking. And we never allow God to really speak to us because we're always the one talking. In fact, prayer isn't supposed to be a monologue that we recite to God. Prayer is dialogue. It's dialogue where we're communicating with God and we're saying, God, which direction should I go? And we take time to listen. You know the Verizon commercial. It's almost like God calls out like the Verizon commercial all the time and says, can you hear me now? And waits. Good. Can you hear me now? Good. God wants us to be communicating with God. And so conversation means that we talk and we also listen. We talk and we listen. It's kind of like, well, how do we listen to God? How do we do that? Sometimes we have a hard time hearing from God because there's so much noise in our life that interfere with us being able to hear and really listen. In fact, so many times, I mean, it's our own voice. Like, we're talking and talking and talking, and there's so much craziness going on around us that it's hard for us to discern the will of God. Sometimes, and this is true for me all the time, we have the TV running all the time, radio, iPod, and there's sound, noise going on all around us, whether it's street noise or whatever. Or sometimes it's the voices of others where we want to know what, God, what is the direction you're leading me? And we go and we talk to everybody and their mama, but we forget to ask the Lord. And so we're getting all the advice from everybody else and we forget to get the advice of the Lord. But when was the last time? I mean, if you're listening to God, you need to be in a place where you can really hear God speaking in that still, small voice. When was the last time that you spent in complete silence? Silence is difficult because it's awkward sometimes. And whenever there's silence, sometimes I'm the kind of person that wants to fill up that silence with talking. And if I don't get an answer, I just keep explaining things more. But one of the things that happens is the Bible reminds us, God says this, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. God wants to speak to you. God wants you to hear what God has for your life. And so God speaks in so many different ways, as we talked about, so many different ways in order to get our attention, in order to help us to hear God. But we also have to do our part by coming to God and by being willing to, as with the same spirit of Samuel, say to the Lord, all right, now I'm ready. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Discerning what God is saying in your life is a lifelong process. It's an acquired taste, kind of like drinking coffee for me. It's an acquired taste that you get by being around God more and more and more. Where do you need God's direction right now? Where do you need God's direction in your life right now? this week I have a go-do part for you. I want you to be thinking of that thing that you need God's direction for. And I want you to actually pray for that. I want you to spend some time every day praying for that. In the morning, after you get up, and right before you go to bed, and maybe even during the day. Seeking God's direction. God, where are you trying to lead me here? But as you pray, I want you to try something different. I want you to take 5 minutes and just be still afterwards. And to listen to what God might be saying to you on your conscience, on your heart, what God reveals to you in that time. God has always wanted to communicate to God's people. But I pray that we would be people as a church and even as people who would be willing to say, "Speak, Lord. We're really listening. We're ready to follow you."